and welcome to the Fit Chicks and Hormones podcast, where we offer suggestions and information about balancing your hormones naturally so that you can start taking action today. I'm excited to be here today with you, sharing my experiences and the experiences of my clients in hopes that you will learn so much about how you should truly feel when you take the action steps to a life full of hormone harmony.
I want to talk about this because I just feel like this is the thing that so many people get confused about. It's the nutrition part. It's such an important part of overall health. But I feel like it's super important. It's probably the basis of everything when it comes to balancing your hormones and living your best life and feeling your best, and getting results, all the things. And I think for some reason, it's the most thing that everybody's confused about, you know, because we know we need to get better sleep. We need to manage our stress. But when it comes to nutrition, there's so much information out there. There's so many different things that people tell you to do that you're like, I have no idea what I should do. And I'm going to tell you this just from right from the beginning is the thing you need to do is the thing that's going to work for you, right? That is what is most important. First, I want to start by saying that in order to live a healthy lifestyle, one where you feel good in your body, you feel confident in your body, you have the energy to do the things you want to, like the focus to do the things you want to, you need to focus on nutrition, movement, sleep quality, stress management, and keeping toxins out of your life, which are both physical and mental toxins, right? Toxic people, if they're in your life, you just need to get rid of them. Those are the five pillars of a healthy, hormonal, balanced lifestyle. So those are the things you should always be focused on. But I also feel that the majority of your results are going to come from what you put in your body in the way of nutrition. But I want to point out that if you are not getting good sleep and if you are overwhelmed and stressed out, your nutrition is most likely going to be crap, right? Because what do? We feed our emotions when we're tired and we want carbs. But when we're tired, we want carbs. When we're stressed out, we want carbs. We're going to talk about the carbs here, whether they're good or quote bad. But when we aren't getting good sleep and we're stressed out, we aren't making good choices with our food. So you have to focus on those first. And I have many, many podcasts on how to manage your stress and to get good sleep. So if you need to focus on those things first, go to the podcast, listen to those first, go check them out and start there. Then you can come back and start focusing on your nutrition. Okay. So now that I have that out of the way, let's talk about the most important part is the nutrition. So what I mean by that is what you should be feeding your body in your menopausal years. And menopausal years can be starting as late as from your late 30s all the way up to your mid 60s to 70s. Okay. So there's a long range. It's just not a short time when people think menopause. It could be 10, 20 years. What you need to feed your body if you want to lose weight or if you want to keep your weight off or if you want to keep diabetes and heart disease and all the other health issues that can happen as we age, if you want to keep them out of your life, this is how you should try to prioritize your nutrition and focus on it with your nutrition. So I want to address all macros first real quickly and what part they play in making you feel good or bad. You know, and how you put them in your body and how they help your body in your menopausal years. So first I want to talk about and address protein. I'm sure you hear this all the time. I talk about it all the time, right? Protein is essential for preserving and building your muscle tissue, which becomes increasingly important during menopause, all the menopausal years. We are slowly, we are slowly losing muscle mass as we hit our late 30s and beyond. And yes, while strength training is going to help with that, you have to also be feeding your body some protein to keep away things like sarcopenia. And maybe you've heard this from your doctor if you're older. And if not, you will eventually. Protein has a higher thermic effect compared to carbohydrates and fats, which means it has more fat burning effect on your body. And it requires more energy to digest, to metabolize, and utilize. And what that does is it boosts your metabolic rate, which can help with burning calories, which can aid in weight management or weight loss and preventing weight gain that usually comes on with menopause. So that is why And this is like, I've always known that protein is important, but the more that I listen to people, the more that I listen to these doctors and on these podcasts and stuff, they are promoting, it used to be like, as you know, women only need about 60 to 70 grams of protein. Now they're saying like anywhere from 100 to 150 or more. Like, protein is so important to your overall health. Okay. So that's something you want to think about and focus on. Protein also helps provide or promote satiety and feelings of fullness. It's kind of funny because I just had a client come, message me today because we're working on getting her protein up, right? She's like, but I'm, and getting her calories up. She's like, oh my gosh, I hit my protein goals, but I'm so full, which is a great thing. I still want her to hit her calories, but it's, protein is filling. It makes you feel full, which is good, right? That's what we want, because also when you feel full, it's going to keep, keep you from wanting to go eat the sugar and the processed foods or more of the carbs, right? So that's why it's important, and it should be the number one thing you put on your plate every time you eat. Protein consumption influences the secretion of hormones involved in appetite regulation, such as leptin and ghrelin. Those are your hunger hormones. And it helps to stabilize your hunger and satiety cues. So, and also it has certain amino acids found in protein sources that help your neurotransmitters, which are your serotonin and dopamine. Energy, feelings, yay, we want that, right? And this can help to positively influence your mood and emotional well-being during menopause. Lots of benefits to eating your protein. Protein-rich foods have a minimal impact on blood sugar levels compared to high carbohydrate foods, helping to prevent spikes and crashes in blood glucose levels. This is why I'm always saying, if you're going to eat carbs, you need to have your protein, because we want to keep the blood sugar from spiking up, right? This is going to help with better blood sugar control and reduce the risk of insulin resistance and diabetes and other metabolic disorders. Okay. So maybe you're wondering, and this was asked in the group when people are curious about this, how do I hit my protein goals? So first off, I want you to know that you should be eating about 20 to 40 grams per meal. Well, give me a second. I'm going to step back here for a second. How do you know if you're going to be, how you know how much protein you're eating, right? First, you need to start by tracking your foods for about 5 to 7 days to see where you are hitting with your protein. Also a good idea to just to kind of check in to make sure you're eating enough calories as well. And you can do both of them when you're tracking your foods. So when you have an idea of where you're sitting, so without changing anything, track 5 to 7 days, maybe throw out a couple weeks, because maybe some days are different, like on the weekend, whatever, and just get an idea, an average of where you're hitting when it comes to your protein, okay? Be looking at those numbers. Are you hitting about 25 to 40 grams of protein per meal? 25 to 40 grams. If not, could you add more protein at each meal? If you're not hitting there, how can you bump that protein up? Look at your meals. What were you eating? Let's say you're having a hamburger. Okay, just think of the hamburger patty. We're not thinking about the bun, all the other stuff, just the hamburger patty. And that's, let's say, depending, it's about 25 grams, right, which you put in. Well, you could add another half of that and bump that protein up easily, right? You're also going to feel more full. You're going to bump up your calories, but these are good calories, right? Or if you're doing eggs, add some extra egg whites to bump up the protein, because then you're not adding fats as well. You're only adding just the protein. So what I usually do myself, and I have my clients do, is when you're tracking, you look and see, like, am I hitting my protein goals? If I'm not, where can I add more in that meal? And this is how where tracking can come in handy, because you will learn, right? And if you eat a lot of the same foods, you can be like, oh, last time I ate this, I know that I didn't hit my protein goals, so I could add just a little bit more, right? Throughout the day, think of that too. You should be averaging, I think if you hit 100 grams of protein, you're doing good. I would love to have you hit more. And some say do 1 gram per pound of ideal body weight. So if you want to weigh 150, you'd eat about 150 grams of protein. It's going to be hard if you're not eating that now. So slowly try to bump it up. But again, like I said, if you even can hit 100, you're doing wonderful, because it's really hard for women, because we're not used to eating so much protein, to get that. So aim for that, okay? You should always try for real food first when you're trying to eat more protein. So, like I said, another burger, having some turkey, whatever it is, bump that up, get that up that way with real food. But if you're still struggling, then you can try and add some protein powder. Okay? This is what I do. For one, I like it to have it right after my workouts just because it's protein and it helps to bump that up. During the day, sometimes I'll do it as a snack because it's just satiating. So if in the middle of the afternoon I'm feeling a little tired, remember, it gives you good energy. It boosts your mood, and it makes you feel full. So then I'm not going to go grab the potato chips instead. So I'm going to have a protein shake. Most scoops of protein powder are around 20 to 25 grams. It depends. Like the collagen is a little bit lower, but most of them are average around 20 to 25 grams. So that's for sure going to help to bump up your protein. And if you're trying to get 150 grams, you already have 25 just from that protein shake. Now, this was asked in my Fit Chicks and Hormones community, which protein powders are the best and what's the difference between them? So I'm going to just explain to you a little bit. These are the three that I am familiar with. I haven't tried any other ones, so I can't give you any information on those, but whey protein, pea protein, and collagen protein. Whey protein is derived from milk, so it's a complete protein, meaning it contains all 9 essential amino acids that the body cannot produce on its own. So someone that is sensitive to dairy might have problems with this. So I would say I'm lactose sensitive. I can't do milk. I can't do ice cream, things like that. But if I find a good whey product that has enzymes in it, it usually is totally fine for me. But if you're someone who can't do dairy, whey might not be the option for you. But if you're a little bit sensitive, give it a try because a lot of them do contain, if it's a good quality one, they will contain the enzymes that help to break down the dairy. So that's whey protein. I'm going to tell you, this is my number one go-to. I just love everything about them. I love everything that's in them and they taste the best. That's just me. Okay. Then again, that's my opinion. The next one, pea protein. Pea protein is made from yellow peas and is a plant-based protein source. While it's not a complete protein like whey, it still provides a good amino acid profile, particularly rich in branched chain amino acids. This is good for those who cannot do whey. It is a bit more grainy tasting, at least to me, because I'm used to the whey. And these, if you do some type of pea protein, it is going to have, because it's pea, it's going to have higher carbs. So just make sure you are aware of that and pay attention to that. So if you're using it to bring your protein up, it's also going to bump up your carbs. And the last one that I'm going to talk about is collagen protein, because this is another one that I use and I love this one. Collagen protein is derived from animal connective tissues, such as bones, skin, and cartilage. That may sound nasty, but let me explain here. It's unique in that it's particularly rich in the amino acids glycine, proline, and hydroxyproline, which are essential for supporting your skin, your joints, your bone health, all those things that as we age, we lose that, right? We lose skin elasticity. We lose the lubrication in our joints. So this is really good. And I like to add this one for that reason. So my preferences are the whey and the collagen. I've tried the pre proteins and I don't like them, and a lot of times they kind of upset my stomach. But again, you have to find what works for you. I honestly, when I do my hormone smoothie in the morning, I will do a scoop of whey and 2 scoops of the collagen. So I think I get around anywhere from 35 to 40 grams of protein just in my hormone smoothie to start my day off, which is amazing, right? And that's a good way for me to get up because I'm also getting all the other things in my hormone smoothie as well. But that's how I start my day. And I use both of them. So if you have any questions about any of these, feel free to reach out and ask me which brands are the best. I got asked this as well. I do have a list that I could share with you of the ones that I recommend to my clients, the ones that we've tried. And you just message me on Facebook or Instagram and I can send that to you. But what's important is look at the nutrition packs, right? If there are artificial sweeteners in there, or a bunch of junk in there, or fillers, or red dyes, and things like that, you do not want those. Okay? Stay away from them. They're not good for you. They're not good for your hormones. If you find one, you're unsure, take a snapshot, send it to me. I'll let you know. I'll give you my opinion on if I feel like it's a good one or not. And one last fact on protein. It's the only macronutrient that you absolutely must have to keep your body alive. You could live without fats. You could live without carbs. You cannot live without protein. So, eat your protein. All right, so I'm going to move on to carbs. I just did a post about this on my social media, so I'm just going to kind of, you know, quickly talk, go over this. If you missed that, you can go back and look. And I talked about the different carbs. So I think this is where most people get confused, right? Like, we put carbs all into one big basket, and we think carbs are either good or bad. But there's different types of carbs. Some are better for you, some not so good. So we're just going to talk about those, touch base with those, and tell you which ones are going to serve your body the most and get you the results you're looking for. First, simple carbs. Simple carbs, these are things like white bread, sugary snacks, donuts, pastries, you know, white rice, things like that. And while they give you a quick boost of energy, because, right, when we are tired and we didn't sleep, you have a donut, yay, I have lots of energy. Then what do? You crash, right? So they give you good energy, but they spike your insulin levels. I always tell my clients that they want dessert or they want a sugary treat or they want to have something like this, this simple carb, you must have it with a meal and a protein. And consume it in very limited amounts. Simple carbohydrates can disrupt your hormone balance by promoting insulin resistance, which we don't want, leptin resistance, which can make us not know if we're full and make us eat more, fluctuations in ghrelin, which is our hunger hormones, like telling us if it will throw off whether we're hungry or really hungry or not, whether we're full, and dysregulation in cortisol response. So yes, as you can see, they're not serving you. They're not doing you any good. They taste good, but they're not doing your body any good. And in very limited amounts, they're okay when you pair them with a meal or with protein, okay? Never going to tell you can't have them, but I'm going to tell you how to have them so that your body feels the best. Okay, next, complex carbs. These are like quinoa, rice, beans, sweet potatoes, fruit is a complex carb. These take longer to break down, but they provide you with good fiber, which, if you didn't know, you should be getting about a minimum of 25 grams of fiber. And they offer sustainable energy. So lasting energy, not a spike and a crash, lasting energy. These I feel are best to consume on workout days to help you aid with, to give you energy for your workout, to help in recovery after your workout. And your body's going to burn them for fuel versus storing them on your body for fat, which is what we want, right? But just like simple carbs, too many of these can spike your insulin. Again, they will affect your hunger hormones and your cortisol response. So again, use them in limited amounts, but with protein. Always, anytime you have a carb, you need to have a protein with it. I tell my clients to aim for no more than one cup of these a day. Okay, I would say there's no times, maybe if you're running a marathon or you ran a marathon or you're training for some huge event that's like 4, 5, 6 hours long, yeah, you can have more carbs, 100%. You're going for a 12-mile hike a 12-hour hike, yes, you need more carbs for the energy. Okay, so there's certain times where these are okay, but again, on a daily basis, limit them. You can still have a cup of them. What you want to do is break that cup into halves. So if you think about a cup of rice, I don't know about you, but I would be so full. I wouldn't want to eat anything else. So cut it in half so you can have them, half a cup of rice with your protein and your vegetables. Okay? Super important to think about that way and break them up. Unfortunately, thanks to Mother Nature and your hormones, you're just not able to consume these like you once were able to. Maybe you were able to in your 20s and it wasn't a problem. But right now, it's going to be spiking insulin and we are already struggling with insulin resistance and blood sugar issues. So what we want to do is try to prevent that as much as possible. So again, if you're going to have them, you're going to have them with some protein and you're going to have about a half a cup per serving, per meal. And the last one is the best one. The best one for your hormones, the best one for your body. This is fibrous carbs. So this is green leafy vegetables, broccoli, asparagus, spinach, kale, cauliflower, all those things. The vegetables, lots of colors you want to do. That's not limited to what I just said, but there's a variety of vegetables. You can have them all, right? They are all good for you. They benefit your hormones by aiding in detoxification of leftover circulating hormones, because the hormones don't always get removed. They kind of circulate. We want to get them out. If they're floating through our body, they cause more hormonal symptoms. They help to support digestive health. They help you to go to the bathroom regularly, which is very important in that detoxification process of getting rid of those extra hormones or getting rid of anything that's in your body that's not serving you. I tell my clients to aim for 4 to 6 cups of vegetables a day. You cannot overeat fibrous carbs, right? Nobody has ever overeaten broccoli. Never. Have you overeaten rice or pasta? Probably. Maybe not on purpose, but it just tasted so good you just kept eating it, right? But most often we'll be like, I can't eat any more broccoli, okay? So now I'm going to move on to fats. So again, fibrous carbs, 4 to 6 cups on your plate all the time. Eat them lots and lots and lots of them. Now let's move on to fats. Many hormones are synthesized from cholesterol, which is a type of fat. For example, cholesterol is a precursor for the synthesis of steroid hormones such as cortisol, estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. Your body and your hormones need fats. They need healthy fats. Not the unhealthy fats, but the healthy fats. Consuming adequate amounts of healthy fats ensures that the body has the necessary building blocks to produce these hormones. If you don't have healthy fats in your body, your hormones are not going to function properly. You're not going to be able to produce hormones. Healthy fats, particularly omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids, help maintain the integrity and fluidity of cell membranes. Fats are good for your brain health. Your brain is made up of fat, so it needs fats to function. Now, going back to the omega-3s and omega-6s, most of us are consuming way more omega-6s than we actually need, because it's in a lot of the processed foods and it's a lot of the unhealthy oils that are in the majority of any boxed or processed foods. This floored me. I just got to throw this in there quickly, but I've been buying these spices from Costco because I absolutely love them. And I don't know why, but I looked at it the other day and there is sunflower, I think it's sunflower oil or something, which is not a good oil, in my seasoning. Now, why does there need to be sunflower oil in my seasoning? I have no idea. But this is things that you have to be aware of, and you have to make sure that you're reading ingredients, because they sneak this stuff into everything and they are not good for your body. That being said, we do need more omega-3s. We're not getting enough of them into our body. So if you're not supplementing with omega-3s, I highly suggest that you do, for the reasons that we aren't getting enough and we do need more for your brain health, for your joint health, for everything. Healthy fats, especially omega-3s that are found in fatty fishes, the flax seeds, which are really good for estrogen dominance, you should be taking them, and walnuts have anti-inflammatory properties. So if you have inflammation going on in your body, you need to add more fats. They help reduce inflammation in the body, which supports overall hormone function and health. Fats also provide a concentrated source of energy. So when you are eating less of the carbs for the energy, where are we going to get our energy from? From the protein, but also from the fats. So when you drop carbs, you want to add more fats. They also give you twice as many calories per gram compared to the carbohydrates and the proteins. So while you can eat more of them, and you should eat more of them, you don't want to overindulge in them and just eat a meal full of fat. But the steady source of energy is essential for maintaining stable blood sugar and preventing energy dips throughout the day. So healthy fats are going to give you good energy like this, whereas those simple carbs are going to go like this. We don't want that. We want this. Healthy fats consist of things like avocados, olive oil, fatty fishes like salmon, mackerel, sardines, trout, herring, nuts, almonds, walnuts, cashews, pistachios, seeds, coconut and coconut oil. So seeds like chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds. These are all really good for your hormones. Really good. Nut butters, almond butter, cashew butter, dark chocolate.
Yay.
I love me some dark chocolate. Obviously, you want to make sure you're eating it with some protein, too, because it does have sugar in it. But and higher than 70%, but the fats in there is good for you as well. And then olives are also a good option. You should have a healthy fat at every single meal. Something at every single meal. Okay? So going back to talk about all these, when putting together your meals or your plate, you should think of it in this order. First, what am I eating protein? Then what are my fibers, my green vegetables? Then what are my healthy fats? And then my starches, preferably, or a simple carb, rarely, right? So that's what your plate should look like when you are putting it together. So same thing when you go out to order. Look at what's on them. What is made up of? What is the food is made up? Are you going to have enough protein or do you need to order more? Are you going to have too many carbs? So maybe you should make a different option. Does it have fats or too many fats, right? So something to think about. You want to have that plate, just like I said, and you're going to have balanced blood sugar levels and you're going to feel great. So you can think about steak and broccoli with some grass-fed butter on top with a side of brown rice, that half cup. Here's the thing. You're not going to know if you're eating too much or not eating enough unless you track. And I know it's time consuming. I get it. I used to think the same thing, but without it, you're just guessing. You're not knowing what you're actually eating or consuming. I used to think I didn't have to track either, but I know when I do, I feel better, and then it gives me a better idea of why. Because then I can know, oh, why am I tired? Oh, I haven't eaten enough calories, or I didn't eat enough protein, right? And I don't do it all the time. I try to hit about 5 days a week for a couple weeks, and then I'll skip for a while, and then I'll go another couple weeks. Just to kind of give me an idea of where I'm at. Because as you get to know what your plate looks like, you should need to, and you'll know how your body feels. Some things to keep in mind if you start tracking is at each meal, your protein grams should be more than your carb grams. Always. If you want to keep your blood sugar stable. So let's say you're consuming, off the top of my head, 2 eggs and it's 15 grams of protein. And then you're having 2 slices of toast with just 36 grams of toast. So 15 grams of protein and 36 grams of carbs. Is that going to stabilize your blood sugar? Probably not. So we need to flip that. 1 slice of bread, maybe 3 eggs, right? Make sure you have more. When you're doing that, when it's this, carbs high, protein low, you're setting yourself to gain weight, to hold on to weight, to have low blood sugar, to have sugar cravings, things like that. If you want me to help you to determine your calorie range and your macro range, just send me a message on Instagram or Facebook. I will definitely tell you what that is. And I can tell you what app to use because there is, MyFitnessPal is one that everybody uses, but now they make you pay for a lot of stuff. So there's a better one that you might want to try. And I can tell you where you can set your macros. So you start to feel amazing and you start to lose weight. I also will send you, if you don't already have it, my macro cheat sheet that explains where the right carbs fit in. So it'll break these up so you know exactly what that should look like. And then once you get a feel of what your plate should look like after you track for a while, you can just come back to it every couple weeks to recheck it and make sure you're on track. The entire goal when we are going through menopause, perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, is to reduce insulin resistance and stabilize your blood sugar. Because when your blood sugar is not stable, we have mood swings, we have low energy, we have depression, anxiety, we can't sleep, we can't think, and we gain weight. So that's miserable. We don't want to be miserable. So what you need to do is focus on the things that I mentioned above and mentioned today, and I guarantee you will start to feel amazing in that body again just by focusing on these key points. And if not, I'm here to help you. So I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining me. Again, let me know if there's anything that resonated with you, if there's something that you learned that you didn't know before, something that a biggest takeaway that you're going to go and you're going to try on your own, because I'd love to hear that. And I would appreciate that. So thanks for joining me. If you have any further questions, don't ever hesitate to ask. I love helping women learn more about their bodies and how to make themselves feel their best. So have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks and Hormones podcast. And if you found this helpful, I would love for you to share it with your friends by sharing it in your stories and tagging me on Instagram at FitChicksAndHormones or on Facebook at Angie Marone. And if you have a free minute, a review would be great too. Feel free to message me with any questions either on Facebook or Instagram. I love helping women move through their hormonal years with ease.